have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KB Cam.
Some people said,
God,
but I wouldn't be here today, but look at me, look at me. I'm made it by the grace of God. When I sit down and look back down to the years, I have to share so many tears. When I made it, Joe walking around.
Opposite, you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor, and here's this week's gospel news. Nashville-based singer, songwriter, producer Ryan Poppin. He began his career at the age of 12, playing piano with a touring gospel group out of New Jersey. The son of a choir director, Ryan Poppin embraced Christian music at an early age and spent his teen years recording instrumental piano-based worship albums before beginning to dabble in pop music. Through a friend and R&B producer, Ira Schrickman, Poppin met and co-wrote the song that was featured on NSYNC's 2001 album Celebrity. With his early heart deeply rooted in gospel music and a strong interest in the pop world, in 2015, he returned with the Peace Series, Volume 1. I Got Out appeared in 2017. An exuberant melting pot of rock, funk, pop, and even classical, Indianapolis-based collective Judah Band added a unique zest to their brand of gospel on albums like 2015, The Return of Glory, and its 2018 follow-up, Gone Fishing. Founded by singer-songwriter and producer G. Randy Weston, with their energetic performances and fun gospel party band style, their debut album, The Return of Glory, in 2015. 2 years later, they announced the move to E1 Light Records and released their 3-song EP, For My Good. A second EP, More Than I Ever Expected, appeared in early 2018, following later that year by the full-length Gone Fishing, which debuted at number 7 on Billboard's Top Gospel Albums charts. Nikki Berry was born in Villa Plate, Louisiana. However, her musical journey began in Beaumont, Texas, under the leadership of Pastor James C. Franklin. She began leading songs at a very young age, and with the coaching of director Bonnie Wildridge, she was well known for her singing all over town and was named most talented of her graduating class of Westbrook Senior High School. After graduating, Nikki attended Prairie View A&M University and graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering. She then moved to Houston, Texas. Nikki has worked for major engineering companies in the Houston area, but has never lost her love for music. She began writing music in 2008. Her music encouraged her to push through and never stop trusting God, so she decided it was time to encourage others. Growing up in a church as an active choir member and praise and worship leader meant that for Nikki, she was always surrounded by Christian and gospel music. New York-based saxophonist Mel Holder makes uplifting contemporary gospel jazz that also finds them weaving in R&B, African, and Caribbean sounds. Emerging in Brooklyn in the late 1990s, Holder's brand of music ministry came into a wider recognition with its 2008 Stellar Award-nominated album, Music Book Volume 1. Along with recording for an array of reggae, R&B, and Christian artists, he has continued to issue his own albums like the Top 20 Gospel Jazz Album, Back to Basics, Music Book Volume 2. Born in Queens, New York, to a Christian family of Panamanian descent, Mel Holder overcame asthma in his youth to pursue his dream of playing the saxophone, studying at Miami-Dade College, during which time he also performed regularly at clubs in Miami Beach. He eventually had to return to Brooklyn, where the climate better suited his asthmatic condition. He further connected to his faith. Along the way, Holder has studied evangelism at United Christian College and gained further spiritual guidance at the Christian Life Center. Combining his faith and love of music, Holder has released several spiritually inclined albums, including Now and Forever in 1999, Gifts So Special in 2005, and the Stellar Award-nominated Music Book Volume 1 in 2008. He also earned accolades for his session work, including picking up a Grammy nomination for Lyrically Potent and 2009 Dove Award nomination. In 2015, Holder's follow-up, Back to Basics Music Book Volume 2, charted at the top 20 of both the Billboard Gospel and Jazz Album charts. Music Book Volume 3, Magnificent, arrived in 2019. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Joshua Rogers, Still Gon' Trust. 9, Juan Winans and Deborah Joy Winans with Never On My Own. 8, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music, Gyra. 7, Jacqueline Carr, My Portion. 6, Dawkins and Dawkins, Come By Here. 5, Tamela Mann, He Did It For Me. 4, Pastor Mike Jr., Amazing. 3, Byron Cage with You Are. 2, E. Dewey Smith, Your Presence Is a Gift. Our new number one song is Rudy Currents and Chrisette Michelle's No Greater Love. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Well, good evening to each and every one of you as we enter into another Thursday here in the month of April. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. I want to thank you for joining us on this podcast. In my spirit, if I had listened to my flesh, we wouldn't be on tonight, because I don't know if any of you have ever gone through these sessions, but I've coming off the session for the Joint College of Bishops, the Joint College of African American Bishops, let me get it right, just a little bit exhausted, but we're going to try to spend at least an hour with you today. So by the grace of Almighty God, we are going to move forward and do what needs to be done. First and foremost, let me say hello to you and to you out there in Radio Land, wherever you're listening to this podcast. That's so happy that you taking the time to be with us today. I just love the very fact that you check in and week out, and I did get word that there was a asking of where we were and where we've been. Well, a myriad of things have been taking place over the last few weeks, and the Pastor's Corner has had some days off, days that we ordinarily don't take off, but nonetheless, to God be the glory. Every now and then you got to take a break. You got to take some rest. And so tonight we are going to talk about the believer's rest. We're going to look in Hebrews chapter 4. But before we get started, let me find out who is here. Let me start with the individual who's been with me the longest. I do want to say he hails from Boston, Massachusetts, but now residing in Augusta, Georgia. Come on and say hello to Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. How are you, sir? Okay, he is not here. Apparently he's not listening, or he's muted. Not sure. All right, this individual I've known for quite a number of years, and he is the chief apostle for Volume of the Book International Ministries. Just checking on you. How about you, Chief Apostle Vinton L. Smith? Are you here with us today? Okay, I'm 0 for 2. Well, let me do it this way. Sister Kimmy Kim, everybody's mic is open. Who do we have with us today?
I believe I see Sister Felicia and I, myself, and you. We are on.
All right. Apostle Felicia Flight, how are you, my sister? How are you doing today?
Thou art sleepy. How are you?
Okay. Trying to hold myself together and not say let's cancel the show, but we're here now. So let's take a few minutes to talk about some stuff. And then, of course, we have our director, our producer, Kimmy Robinson. Thank you so much for what you do week in and week out. We're not going to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to shift. I was going to do something else, but I'm going to do a little bit of shifting today, if you don't mind. Let's do this. Let's talk about the power of faith. We're going to look in the book of Mark, and I'm going to look at chapter 11. I'm going to make this easy. We're only going to be here for a little bit. Can you hang out for at least 45 minutes, my sister?
I got training. You know, I started a new job. I got training, but no excuse. I try.
No. If you got training, I understand. I'm not going to be long tonight. I promise you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please pray us in. I'll give the scripture, and I'll start the opening dissertation. We'll talk about this. As a matter of fact, we'll see if we can get to 11 o'clock. If we can get to 11 o'clock, and even if you have to go, I'll do understand. You do what you need to do, because I'd rather you be healthy, bright in the morning, not make any mistakes, because with the type of job you got, they're looking for a reason. So we're not going to give them one. How's that sound? All right, Dr. Robinson, would you please pray us in, please?
Sure. Father God, thank you once again for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. Thank you for another episode of the Pastor's Corner. Thank you so much for this uplifting podcast that will give us insight of off-the-wall church issues that aren't normally discussed inside of the church building. So we're going to continue on giving you honor and glory because you are worthy to be praised, Father God. We just thank you. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for the word. We thank you, most importantly, that you send your son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have life more abundantly. As we continue, decrease us and put more of your precepts in your ways, because it's all about you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, there are two passages of scripture I want to look at. So I'm going to make mention of the first, but I'll read the second. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, I believe it is, Jesus gives warning to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired that he may sift you as wheat. He goes on to say, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. second one I'll mention in a minute. Tonight I did say we're going to talk about the power of faith. And I use that passage of Scripture to kind of use it as a springboard, because oftentimes through Scripture, the Lord himself gives us warning about things that are about to take place. But even in taking his example, there was something that we could learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And concerning faith, we know what faith is. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, I believe it is. I'm sorry, 11 and 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And if we were to break it down and put it in layman's term, faith is believing in what your natural eyes cannot see, neither can your natural mind understand. And we know that as we have walked this walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, God expects us to walk according to faith and in faith, by the power of faith. And there are just so many things that we have to pay attention to, and recognizing that we are physical beings living in a, we're spiritual beings living in a physical world. We do have a physical body. We consist of body, soul, and spirit, and we are in a position whereby we can be tested, challenged, tried on multiple occasions. And we understand that the enemy, who thinks that we still belong to him, who thinks that we're still his, who thinks that we are still his property, tends to want to try to push his weight around and try to convince us that, you know, walking by faith is not the proper thing to do. You need to pay attention to what's in front of you. In other words, he's trying to keep you in the natural, because as he keeps you in the natural, you tend to miss out in the spiritual. Now, I mentioned those passages of Scripture because Jesus let Peter know, and not just Peter, but you and I also let him know that the devil has asked and received permission from God himself to put you to the test. Now, what that simply means is simply this. God wants to show the enemy that you are faithful, that you are tested, tried, and true, that you stand behind the word that you speak, that you believe in the God of your salvation, that you trust the Lord with all your heart, and you do not lean to your own understanding. God's reassuring the devil that no matter what comes, come hell or high water, trial, trouble, or tribulation, you are going to do what is exactly right in the eyesight of Almighty God. The devil, on the other hand, wants to prove to God that you are a total waste of skin and bones, that you don't deserve to live, that you should just be murdered immediately because you're like wasted material that actually managed to obtain breath. Well, here we are in a nutshell. We have opportunity and chance to prove God right and the devil wrong. And when we hear that Satan has desired that he may sift you as wheat, take Peter's name out there and put your name in that particular area. After all, you're not going through what you're going through just for the sake of going through whatever it is you are going through. The enemy is trying to test your faith to see of what sort you are. He's examining you up close and personal. Now, something else I did learn in my study, I did find out that back in the ancient times in Israel, any time a sickle was put to wheat or grain or whatever they were cutting down, a winnowing fork was used to pick the stalk up of the wheat and tossed it in the air. When it hit the ground, it would usually loose the grain. And the grain, sometimes they had to pat the grain with the winnowing fork. And what they were trying to do is separate the grain from the stalk. And when they take the winnowing fork the second time and toss it in the air, the grain having already separated from the stalk literally would blow away. I mean, as you know, because there was nothing left in it to give it any kind of weight to hold it in its place. Well, this is how the enemy views you. So in talking about the power of faith, what do we mean when we say the power of faith? We're talking about the might, the strength, the ability, the stamina, and all that represents that in our faith. Because God says something in his word, and when God says a thing in his word, it should be our responsibility to believe what God is saying. It should be our responsibility to walk according to his word. What is that? What was that?
Hello?
What was that?
I don't know. Maybe it was Apostle Urban Smith or... No, I believe it was Apostle Urban Whitlow. I don't know.
Is Apostle Whitlow here?
Yeah, he just came on.
Bless
yes,
you,
I'm
sir.
Here.
How
the
are
Lord
you?
Bless you, man of God. The Lord bless you.
Tell that woman she's got to go home.
No, why would you even do that on national air? Lord, Jesus.
Don't worry
good
about
God
it.
Almighty.
We know,
you're trying to get a
we know better. You know what? You won't get killed. I promise you. If you know ain't nobody
yeah.
with you, then there's nothing to worry about. How you doing?
Yeah, well, I'm grateful. I just wanted to chime in for just a moment because you said something, and I wanted to bring, if you will, a bit of correction to it. The devil doesn't try your faith. Please hear me. Please hear me. The devil doesn't try your faith. The devil tests your loyalty to your faith. There has to
mm-hmm.
be that difference. It's imperative. Now, and the reason I say that is because we understand that the Bible tells us that we are to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience. The devil is not seeking to give us no patience. No, he's not. He's seeking to punk us out. That's
now,
what his intent
let me
is.
Hold. Stop. Hold a pen right there for a minute. Say that scripture one more time, because you just said something.
James. Yeah.
I know where it is.
James. Chapter 1, verse 2.
I'm aware of it, but I wanted you to say it again. I got that
counted
far.
All joy when you
That's...
fall into diverse temptation, knowing
uh-huh.
that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
How, may
Let
I ask,
me...
is your faith tried?
Well, that, I mean,
I'm just asking,
it's going to be.
How is your faith tried? I mean,
your
I'm
faith
not
is tried
try your
by
faith.
The different... No, no,
yes?
no. Your faith is tried by the plan of God. Because God
mm-hmm.
is always about strengthening your faith. And
I'm with you on that.
That is often because of the prayer that we pray for things that we want God to do or release or to show us. So it takes a faith to move God in those things. So what God does is he says, let me make sure your faith is ready. On the flip side of that, what the enemy tries to do, what Satan tries to do, is he tries to separate you from the loyalty to your faith. And that's where all that doubt comes in. That's where all that unbelief comes in. That's where all that questioning God comes in. Because what? He comes to, if you will, remember what you just got through talking about, how Satan comes to sift you. That is to separate the substance of your faith.
Mm-hmm,
so he's not
mm-hmm.
trying to faith. He wants to separate. He wants to separate the substance of the loyalty to your faith, so that you won't cling to God. You won't cling to the promise of God and things of that magnitude, which is crucial to understand, because there are people who miss that. And the reason they miss that is because they think, oh well, you know, the devil is after my faith. No, the devil is after
the devil is
you,
not
your
after
loyalty.
Your faith. He's after.
No, he's after
but
you,
saying,
your loyalty.
I understand. And I'm not mm-hmm. pressing the issue, because the bottom line is he has to have permission to even do that, which gives him permission
right.
to test or to try according to the word of God, to put your faith to the test, which is what he's doing. When
mm-hmm.
I mentioned the scripture in Luke 22:31-32, I believe I got those
yes.
two correct. I didn't look at them. And when he turns around
mm-hmm.
and says, Jesus reminds Peter that Satan has the great desire, has asked and asked excessively for permission
mm-hmm.
to put you to the test. And you are right
mm-hmm.
in what you are saying. And as he's putting you to the test, he is putting things in front of you that he thinks is going to trip you up, flip you up, and try to make you falter or fall down and have no desire to get up. I haven't even gotten to verse 32 yet. But the reason why I'm explaining the sifting process there, and you're right to a certain degree, there is actually a trying when you lay it down and let the rubber meet the road, because the truth of the matter is it's your choice choice whether you give in to the enemy's tactics or not. And see, a lot of people mm-hmm. tend to think, you know, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do it. Doggone thing. You had what's called the power of choice, and you made yes. a decision to go on and do whatever it is that you decided to do. The devil didn't make you do a doggone thing. All he did was entice you. And in his attempt to entice you, he tries to lure you away from the place of security into the place of obscurity. And that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. The scripture says the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and
to destroy.
And that's his mm-hmm. job. I mean, how can he lure you away from the place of safety to the place of obscurity if he doesn't figure out how to fish you out? I could use the analogy of a fisherman. You've seen the sport fishermen and all these shows when they're going after bass, pike, or whatever it is they're going after. They take certain types of bait, and they will fling their rod out. They won't fling the rod itself, but they'll cast their rod out. And then they'll begin, if they're using a lure, they'll reel it in kind of slow. They're trying to get the fish's attention. And this is how the enemy does you and I. He has to do something to get, and he's not going to throw something at you that means nothing to you. Is it funny how an old girlfriend or an old boyfriend or somebody you always had a mad desire for all of a sudden shows up out the clear blue sky and, you know, you weren't looking for them, then suddenly, oops, there they are. I know that's maybe I'm the only one that's ever happened to, but, you know, suddenly, you know, and they looking gooder than good, better than they did when you first saw them, and they're open and easy, and they're talking like they want to get something done, and you're catching all the signals. But the truth of the matter is he's just enticing you, trying to pull you in. And that's really all he's trying
to do.
Go, go ahead. Go ahead, you're
yes,
in.
I wanna break this down into I wanna break it down a little bit because
okay.
there are some people out there that may not be I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but you and Apostle
well versed. Let's say well versed.
Okay. Seasoned. I can
there
say that.
Go.
Let me break that scripture down so that a babe in Christ can understand this, okay?
Go
now,
for it.
What it means by Satan will test you, and not so much as that, that's what Paul said. But let me give it to you like this. You stomp your toe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in you stomping your toe, the toenail begins to turn black. So you go to the doctor. The doctor is saying that all is well, we just need to drain the blood. You had already prayed before you got to the doctor's office that my toe is well, my toe is well, my toe is well. You get to the doctor's office, they want to drain the blood out there. And the doctor draining the blood out, they find that you broke your toe. That's why mm-hmm. they have, and I'm just making a scenario, I'm not saying that this is a true story. They found the broken toe. Not only do you have a broken toe, but they still have to go in there and get the blood out. But you already believe God that your toe was healed. But here comes Satan. I told you, wasn't nothing to it. Now they got to cut your whole foot off. You see what I'm going? You see where I'm going with that? So
he takes
comes.
A mountain and a molehill makes it a mountain.
Exactly. So he comes to try to take everything that you know that God can do. You know
mm-hmm.
God said that he will heal your body.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to take that. See, I told you wasn't nothing to it. Now, come on. Now they got to cut your foot off and you're going to be footless. That's what he does. Yes, he
uh-huh.
has to have God's permission to even try anything about you. But if you, all you have to do is surrender just a little piece to him, he done took over. Yes, taking
and
over.
And see,
and
I mean,
that's
you,
what
you
we
just
do. We have.
Yep.
We believe God for the healing, but we don't believe God for the healing.
And you know what that is?
You talk
is.
A good game. You talk
there
a good
go.
Game around people, but when you get
mm-hmm.
by yourself, I don't
your
know.
Faith wavers.
What do you mean you don't know? If you're
well, think about
God,
what
you
said.
Think
listen,
God at 100, not at 50.
Listen to what you're saying, because when you look at that scripture, when he says Simon, Satan has asked or hath desired that he may sift you as wheat. And I mean, you know, when you look at what you're saying there, his objective, as we just said, and I thank you for the breakdown, but even in the toe analogy, it was just a stubbed toe. Is the toe really broke? Or is the doctor just looking to make some extra money and give you medicine that you don't need? I'm just saying.
You still have to believe God at 100 and not 50. We don't
exactly.
serve a 50% God. We serve a
exactly.
100% God.
So we get
we
a
don't
warning.
Serve a should be, could be, might be God. God said in his word, it shall be done. Ask and it
that,
shall be
and
given
I agree.
Unto you.
Mm-hmm. But now I'm saying God, Jesus gives a warning. Why is he giving a warning to Peter? Why is he telling Peter what the enemy is up to? Why is
because
he warning
Peter some,
about?
Peter has some doubt. Peter has
well,
doubt.
See, are we any different than Peter at times?
Nope.
I mean, we're trying to believe God for a house or for the fine. And these are just small menial things, because these are actual byproducts of when you stand on the promise of God. All this stuff that we're talking, the materialistic stuff, is a byproduct of your faith in action. Believe God for a house. Believe God for this. Believe God for money. Believe God for all these different things. Now, what's going on in the background there? Huh?
To an extent, these are byproducts of your faith. To an extent.
Well,
because
I'll put Matthew 6:33 in front there.
Tells, exactly. It tells us if we seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will be added. Watch, listen to me. Hear me. Because faith is not just a fact. It is an act, meaning an activity.
That's right.
An act. And faith is the ability to get God's attention to do something on your behalf. So again, the objective of the enemy is to pull you away from your faith into another place of believing, even if the believing is false evidence appearing real.
That's exactly right.
That's all it is.
But there is something that you said, though, that I really want to chime in on, and that is that the devil wants to pull you from your security into obscurity. And I believe that he has succeeded in many cases with many people, because any person who cannot see the hand of God at work, they're in a place of obscurity.
Obscurity.
And so here's the reality. When you are pulled from your security into obscurity, you will suffer from insecurity. You will suffer from an uneasiness. You will
mm-hmm.
suffer from those, you know, that feeling of something is missing. There's a way that I want to say it that you can really get it. Well, what it does is that's what it is. When you are pulled from security into obscurity, it leads you in a place of uncertainty. That's what
mm-hmm.
I'm looking for. So
okay.
That's really what the enemy wants to do, bring you to a place of uncertainty. That's what he did. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. And that's what he did with the young prophet. And that's what he
actually
has done
did it.
With and Sapphira.
If you think about it, Apostle, he did it in the Garden of Gethsemane, not to Jesus, but he did do it.
No. Yes.
He did actually.
And yeah, with Judas, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. With
so,
Peter
you know,
and with the other 12. The 11, the 10 ran. 10 ran and Peter lied.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. 10 Ooh. Scattered and Ooh. Peter wait a minute. 1 died, 10 scattered, and Peter lied. Pretty much. when you break it down, what happened? I mean, 1 minute
That's
they was all there, had just got finished with the communion meal, had sung a hymn, had gone into the garden. Jesus goes a stone's throw away, takes Peter, James, and John with him, then stops them at a certain point, goes a little further, and begins to pray. And as he's praying with intensity, and it wasn't no two-second prayer, I don't know why, where we got this craziness from, that Jesus said, "Father, if it be thy will be done." Nevertheless, it wasn't none of that. I mean, you better go back and check the scriptures. This was strong prayer and crying. Flesh was battling and putting him to a point. But I'll get back to what you're saying because I'm with you. When you're talking about security to obscurity, you got to remember that's where doubt and unbelief now have a foothold, like a fish hook. I don't know if it's ever happened to either of you, but I've gone fishing, and a couple of times the hook caught me in the shirt. You know, one time in the skin. The bottom line is I don't even understand how we could be so tough back then and so doggone easy in this day and age. Man, I just don't understand that. Anyway, let me get back to what I'm saying, you know. But the bottom line is doubt and unbelief are trying to get their hooks into you to pull you back to the earthly reality that you are nobody, that you are nothing, that you're a waste of skin, that you're a waste of God's time, and you need to just close your mind, close your mouth, and shut up. Now, he turns around and says, I don't want to get to the second part of that just yet because we want to get that in a few minutes there. I still want to work on this. Satan has desire. Satan has desire. I mean, the enemy has a desire today to sift us. He likes to sever friendships. He likes to sever relationships. He likes to obliterate families. There is a fight for the family in this day and age. It's an amazing thing that in this day and age of high-level technology, the family is more strained today than the family has ever been at any given point in time. And yet all we have is the faith to hold on to the promise of God that, A, number one, he would never leave us, he would never forsake us. Number two, that he would supply our need according to his riches in glory. Number three, that he is our shield and our buckler, our protector, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Yet we as a people tend to forget this very thing. And when we hear that Satan has desire and has asked for permission to sift us as wheat, to pull us apart, to separate us, to tear us down, to discourage us, to disparage us, to embarrass us, to humiliate us, to do all these things, we just shrug our shoulders and say, "Well, what do you want me to do? I got an idea. How about if you stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? And stop being late." Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be screaming, y'all. Got a little attitude just then. Just a small attitude. I'll be all right. Now, continue where you were, Apostle. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm throwing all this in there because we need to understand the severity of the situation that we are dealing with and how the power, the ability, the might, strength, and authority of faith has the ability to pull you out of any situation or any circumstance that you might be dealing with. And literally, we find the answers when we look into Mark 11, verses 23 and 24, I believe it is. Actually, it goes from 22 down to 24 or 25, but I'm not looking at it at the moment because we're going to tackle part one here, and then we'll get the next part next week. So let's finish up with this. Satan hath desired that he may sift you as wheat. What else do you see in there, either of you? Come on, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Go ahead.
The fact that he desires, there's another word that is used in there, that he has demanded you, as if he said, "Give me that one."
Uh-huh.
Give me urgent. Give me Richard. Give me Susie. Give me Quisha. Give me that one. It's literally, it's not that he just desired, but, you know, because sometimes when you desire something, you'll put a demand on it.
You will.
Ooh, let's
No, you're right.
Let me an idea. When I was a kid, you know, growing up in Boston, just a few miles from you in New Haven, I remember that when we saw a certain type of vehicle, we would say, "That's my car."
I remember those days.
Or if we saw a nice young lady walking down the street, "That's my girl."
And we'd be claiming everything.
We wouldn't just make that confession, but we would become very defensive about it. Like, "Hey, I already made claim to her. You can't have her. You can't have, that's mine. Now you need to respect that." And so that's the idea of the enemy. Watch this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse number 8 says, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So he's walking about looking for somebody. He's like, "You know what? I want her. She says she loved the Lord. I want her. He said he loved his wife. I want him. They say they love their children."
Can we throw one more in there while you at it? He said he'll never cheat on his wife. Now go ahead.
Yeah. These are the things that he will present as a desire, but it's really a demand for what he desires.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to talk about. When Satan puts a demand, that's why we have to understand that he has a hit list for the people of God. The people of God who are making confession, the people of God who are strong in their, who claim to be strong in faith. Oh, he's like, "Okay, so that's what you say, huh? Let's see what happens if I smote you with some kind of infirmity. Let's see."
Uh-huh.
"But I want you. Listen, did you not hear Job's wife? Like, you know what? Why don't you just curse God and die?"
What? Now, you know what? You bring up Job, and I was getting ready to go to him next. When we talk about Satan having desire to sift, he went before God and told God that the reason why Job is not is the way he is because he trusts you. But I bet if you took away the protection, if you took away the hedge, I guarantee you he will curse you to your face.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he said, and he's saying the same thing to each and every one of us. The sifting process is not new. It's been going on, and see, you know, and I had this conversation with somebody earlier, and I think about it now. As a matter of fact, I didn't have it directly with this individual. This person came on TikTok and was trying to equate Christianity, voodoo, Hinduism, and all these other things to, you know, trying to put them all in the same box, meaning that it depends on you, the person. Can you be more stupid? Yeah, I'm saying it out loud. I wish I could have got her on this radio show. I wish I could have got her in a platform where we can turn around and let's bump heads and see what we come up with. Because there are a lot of people who think like this, and the bad part is, apostles, there are individuals that are putting this jargon out there like that. And when it talks about the enemy desiring to sift you as wheat, he's literally trying to scramble brains, take away what I call spiritual common sense. I mean, the natural man is never going to be able to understand what the spiritual man understands, simply because of the fact that the spiritual man, being connected to God through Jesus Christ, has an understanding that the natural man lacks. And so the natural man is relying on his instinct. The natural man is relying on his own, I could say, brain power. Somebody give me a better word, because I can't think of one right now. But he's relying on his own intellect. And his own intellect is making the biggest fool out of him you've ever seen. But I mentioned that young lady to get to this particular thing. What I am trying to get us to understand is the enemy is not stupid by any means, but the scripture says we who are spiritual are not ignorant of his devices. We are very well versed, and the Holy Spirit shares with us what we need to see and what we need to know, and he tells us what's about to take place. Jesus is giving us instructions. Look, y'all, the devil is after you. stop this nonsense. The devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do it. He just encouraged you to do it. And you, like a fool, I'm going to throw myself on that bandwagon, you, like a fool, turned around, listened to him in that moment, and it was in that moment that you messed up. What y'all got to say to that?
Well, I don't know if the ladies are going to speak tonight or not. I wanted to give them a chance. Dr.
Uh-huh.
Kelly, Apostle, Light.
I think Apostle Flight sleep.
Well, because sometimes they have some good stuff, and I be wanting to hear them.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
No,
sweetheart.
I know
I was excusing you.
But
is he? Apostle Smith, are you here?
Hello.
Hey, how are you? Ladies and gentlemen, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. You know what I always say, better late than never, because 11 o'clock, I was going to shut this bad boy down.
No, he's been here. I told you he was here. He came up the same time
I didn't hear you say that part. I'm saying, just got finished saying, I did not hear you say that part.
Oh.
Okay. Well, Apostle Smith, we're talking about the power of faith. We're dealing with the scripture out of Luke 22, verses 31, 32, the one where Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. We're not going to deal with part two just yet, part B of that scripture. We're still dealing with Satan hath desired that he may sift you as wheat. What do you have to say to that?
Well, the one scripture keep hitting my head, and I will say something to it. I'm going to quote it first, then I'm going to say something. The trying
mm-hmm.
of your faith, working
mm-hmm.
patience.
Okay.
Patience, experience, and
uh-huh.
experience hope. Now, notice the terms that I use. The
uh-huh.
trying of your faith.
Uh-huh.
And one scripture tells us, the Lord does not try us.
He does not.
Us.
Nope.
So therefore, let's go back. The troubles of your faith work in patience. Patience is to say it does not work you slow. It gives you strategy of how to work in faith.
All right.
Then it says faith, that process of having strategy takes you into experience. Then you can tell others of what you went through and the process that gave you an experience that God works.
Uh-huh.
Then it says because God works, you got the hope that you can do it again.
Come on.
But somebody said, why does Satan have to bother me? Well, I'm going to ask this. I'm going to ask this. The same way Satan bothers our faith, why does God say, enemy that don't come at peace with you is your next step on your ladder?
All right. Come on.
I'm finished. I'll ask the question. If we look at the process of faith, Satan has to show up because it makes us better. And do we expect Satan just to sit back and let us become better with every trial of our faith? No. He's going to try us and see what we're going to do. Are we going forward? Are we going to stand there and whine?
And that's
but
the key right there.
If we get that patience, if we get that experience, and we get that hope, he can't do nothing with
it. Yeah, and that's the key right there. What are you going to do because he's asked permission to put you to through a series of testings and literally put you through the ringer. That's really what he wants to do. You know what I equate that to? And I didn't go through this because I didn't stay in college long enough to have to go through it. But for those of you that may have pledged in college, if you were hazed, you knew that they were going to do something to try to discourage you in pledging. And this is what I've learned about that, that, you know, I mean, they would do some weird stuff. Personally, I would have quit the first round because, first of all, I'm not eating dog food. I'm not standing out in the cold in my shorts while you doused me with water. We ain't playing that game, okay? I be done hurt somebody. I'm just being real with you. So the hazing effect wouldn't have worked for me.
But you know what that means.
Go ahead.
But, Brother Bishop, I'm glad you brought that up. Some hazing you take, hazing when they get too deep, you got to report the hazing process.
Exactly.
When they hang you up in the closet, when they beat you too much, you start bleeding, or you start getting marks, you have to make a report to whoever it is you are supposed to report to that the hazing has gone wrong. I'm going to turn that to the same thing with God. When Satan tried to try us too much with our faith, there has to be a report to God. Why am I going through like this? He's doing a little too much. Something crazy going on here. Don't you see it, Lord? God come in and set that trial, that situation right, and take us further in faith? He don't want you to go through silliness. He wants you to go through learning, but not silliness.
I agree with that. Apostle, anything you want to add, Apostle Whitlow?
No, I think that it was said well. Again, you know, there was something, though, that I wanted to touch on that was earlier.
Go ahead.
When Satan makes that demand, you keep saying, stop saying the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything.
That's the truth. That's why I said that.
But he can, like you said, he can provoke something. I remember reading a scripture where Jesus said to the Jews, he said, you are of your father, the devil.
The devil. Uh-huh.
And his bidding will you do because his lust is in you.
Uh-huh.
So I think to myself that people who fall prey to the tactics of the enemy is because the enemy already knows what's in them based upon what they used to do and what they have not given up on. If you're supposed to have faith in God, then your faith in God should require you to be loyal to God, because our relationship with God is based upon our faith. So if we have faith in God, then we should be loyal to God through our faith. And so the devil says, well, I want to see how loyal you are to your faith in God. Because in essence, he wants to know if you're loyal to God. So what he does is he comes after the same three things like he did with Jesus. He comes after your possessions, your position, and your passions.
That's right.
If those things are greater to you than the promises of God and your faith, then he can easily draw you, and he can easily, if you will, begin to shed the loyalty of your faith. Good God. He'll shed
my
the
Lord.
Loyalty of your faith. Why? Because he's put that demand on you. Yeah, I want that one right there. Because let's think about it. Let's be truthful. When you were in the world, you were a heck of a sinner. Come on, let's tell you. When I was in the world, you know what Apostle Paul said? He said, I was the chief of sinners. If you be truthful, let me tell you something. I have testified for years that I used to be a player and how God brought me out of that because he wanted me to be loyal to him and not to my passion. Lord Jesus, I'm trying to help somebody tonight.
Come on.
He wanted me to be loyal to him and not to my passion. And so I had to get to, so God had to get me to a place where I valued his promise more than my passion. And so what Satan seeks to do is he seeks to get you to be sensual to your passions instead of sensitive to the promises of God, to the power of God, to the presence of God. And so what he seeks to do is he seeks to shift away your loyalty to your faith. I have told people for years, the devil is not concerned about you sinning. He's not concerned about you doing wrong. The greatest temptation the devil will ever present to a born-again believer is them turning their back on God and abandoning their faith and becoming apostate. That's the real temptation, but I'm going to leave that alone. I'm dropping the mic.
No, you don't have to drop the mic. Just hold on to it for a few minutes. Ladies, can I get something out of you? Dr. Kimmy, Apostle Flight, either of you? Are you guys there? Unmute yourself, Dr. Kimmy, if you're talking.
I concur with what's said. I know that he's talking to you.
Okay.
What your desires are. And that's why we must continue on feeding the spiritual man with, you know, with heavenly things, like a commandment word and praying and fasting and all of those things. Because I really believe that reason why, you know, why he sniffs us, he sees the God in us. He sees the future that we have when it comes to the kingdom. So I agree that we must continue on, just, you know, stay focused on the Lord as we walk on that water faith. And one thing I can really say that God would never place more on us than we can bear because we are still here, you know. And even when we leave and get our wings, we'll be with him in his presence. And so I have come to realize that, you know, the only thing that will ever last is knowing who God is. Everything else will, you know, fly away. So it's very important that we stay focused on him.
I hold on to that. All right. So let's take a small walk, or let's wade into the waters. We've clearly established the very fact that the enemy has a strong desire to take every one of us out if he can. We found out that what the trying of our faith would produce, not only you, Apostle Whitlow, but you, Apostle Smith, both of you said the same thing without having a conversation with each other. And you came out of James when you talked about the trying of your faith working patience. Now, the bottom line here is because he has desire to sift you as wheat, we need to understand that we were prayed for by the chief priest himself. The one who went in and once and for all set the atonement in giving the sacrificing of his life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you. I know we used to sing that song back in the day. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad Jesus prayed first, because I find in John the 17th there, as he's laying before God and laboring in prayer, not necessarily that he was struggling with prayer. It was the struggle of his flesh. He didn't have a problem with his flesh. His flesh had a problem with him, and his flesh was trying to talk him out of going to Calvary. But in the process of his prayer in John chapter 17, he turned around and said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you would keep them for my sake. So when he turned around and said, but I have prayed for you, and then he turns around and tells Peter specifically, this is what I prayed for, that your faith fail not. Talk to me. What does that phrase mean, that your faith fail not? Come on, somebody. Listen to all this quiet.
That your faith fail not.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, I'm praying that you don't give up.
All
that
right.
You don't get trapped up.
Uh-huh.
That you don't get messed up and trip over the upstanding crack, but that you cross over the crack. You don't have, you don't have to get fooled by the enemy, because that's why Peter was sitting out there in the first place. The enemy had
all
his fooled. Said, go back to what you know, because Jesus ain't doing what he was telling you about. And this was after resurrection.
All right.
Said, Jesus ain't doing what he told you he could do. He said, go on back to fishing. Now, he went back out there thinking he was doing the right thing. And God had to come and talk to him. Jesus came up there and talked to him and said, did you know Satan was trying to devour you so he could have you? He said, you out here in Trap Valley.
All right now.
He said, but I'm praying for you. You just need to know. See, and what a lot of saints don't know, or a lot of people, I don't even want you to say the saints, but a lot of people don't know the biggest place the enemy gets them, he like to come play with their head.
Exactly right. That is exactly
play
right.
Play with their head and keep making suggestions. Excuse me.
Take your time.
He keeps making suggestions to their head that are so negative until it looked like they would tell Satan right from the beginning, I rebuke these thoughts. But they sit there and entertain the thoughts and mess around, and their faith journey gets messed up because they don't know what to do anymore.
All right, now. Anything else? Anybody want to add anything else to this?
There was so much said on that, but the fact that Jesus said, I prayed for thee that your faith fails not.
Okay.
First thing to me is Jesus prayed. Says there's a good chance that his prayer was heard. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. The second thing is that he says that your faith fails not, tells me, and I've said this for years, that the believer has unfailing faith. Now, your determination can fail, but your faith cannot fail.
That's right.
There is no way that Jesus will pray for your faith and then your faith fails. No, your desire can fail, your will can fail, your intellect can fail, your obedience can fail, but your faith. Your faith cannot fail. We serve a God who will allow your faith to fail. And so if we grab hold to that faith and we become loyal to that faith, then that faith will not fail. But the thing is,
what kind of person did you say we got to be?
We've got to be loyal to that faith.
No, you said something before that. You said we got to be that B word.
Believers.
We got to be the believers.
Yes. That's what you said. I don't care who said they got faith. When you stop believing, faith can't work.
You got that right.
No, well, because
Well, true, because faith without works is dead. And so that's an absolute definite. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, now,
you got to be a believer of faith. You got to be a believer in your faith.
Amen.
It's only going to work for the one that keeps on believing. And I said that the other day on the prayer line, that I don't care how much you say you have faith, but if you don't do what Bishop said that earlier, but if you don't believe and activate like Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, and it keeps talking about you got to be a believer.
That's right.
If you don't have believing and keep talking about faith, I don't care how much you talk about faith, if you don't believe, then your faith is not working.
That is true. Now, gentlemen, I want to throw something in there as we bring this down to a close because we're down to the final 15 minutes. I found out something about that phrase, that thy faith fail not. I found out through the Greek text and the Hebrew writing says it a slightly different way. The Greek text translation, when it talks about that thy faith fail not, it talks about your faith being brought to a halt. But the Hebrew study or the Hebrew writings literally turns around and says that your faith be not reduced to the level of inactivity. And how many people do we know who started out maybe in ministry and they were preaching, and now all of a sudden they've abandoned ministry. They've walked away from it. A prime example of how the enemy can reduce your faith to the level of inactivity. It doesn't mean you don't have faith, because the Bible crystal clearly says in Romans 12:3, so every man is given the measure of faith. So there's a level of faith that's always going to be in action. But the faith that goes above and beyond the norm, above and beyond what you're usually seeing, above and beyond the everyday stuff, that faith, when it gets reduced to the level of inactivity, will cause you to crawl back in your hole and just wait to die. Anybody believe that?
Absolutely.
And that's what people are doing today. Think about this. I was in church, but, you know, it was just too hard. I couldn't do it anymore, so I just left because, I mean, I didn't want to sit there. And here's their excuse. I didn't want to play church. I didn't want to be a fake. I didn't want to be a phony. They don't even realize when you walked away from God, you showed how phony you were to begin with. I didn't want to say it. I was hoping they would see it. But when you walk away from God, you've already shown your phoniness. How are you going to walk away from the originator himself? How do you do that? But yet we got people that do that. Go ahead.
It becomes easy when you're not committed, when you don't believe it, and you're
That's
not
right.
going to abide by it.
There
it becomes
you go.
Easy. Then, you know, see, this is the whole idea is you have to want what God says. You have to
That's
walk
right.
in it. You have to believe it. I was thinking to myself, the Bible tells us that we ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, right? So we got to walk worthy. What it boils down to is we have to really want it as bad as we say. Not
Amen.
Talk about it, but actually. And we have a time, we're in a time where people are not, they're not being about it. What they want to do is they want to talk the talk, but they want to walk the walk. That's what it boils down
My
to.
My God. My God. All right, you want to add anything, Apostle Smith, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Apostle Flight, if you're still with us? Okay.
I just want to say I agree with everything that was said.
Go ahead, say that again. I'm sorry. You broke up.
Oh, I was just saying that I agree with everything that was said.
Okay. I keep laughing because, see, I know you're listening, but I'm saying to myself, God, with all that she's got, she's just trying to find the easy way out. I'm going to leave you alone tonight, Dr. Robinson. I ain't going to mess with you tonight, okay? All right? Is that okay if I don't mess with you tonight?
Sure. But
Okay.
I agree with everything that was said. Yeah.
I heard you. I'm going to let you have that one. Anyway, as we move forward, we're going to actually at some point, we're going to finish this up, Luke 22:31-32, and we're going to look at this. Faith being reduced to the level of inactivity is faith that you've given up. You've thrown in the towel. You decided in your mind that it's just too hard, too difficult. You can't do it. You're basically saying, in essence, God, who has called you a can-do person, God, who has says that you have everything that pertains to life and godliness, God, who has equipped you with all the needed and necessary tools to be successful, has even sent his son to fight the battle and win the war on your behalf. But you've just told God in so many words, I can't do it.
Or better
what do
yet,
we do
you
with
told
it?
God, I quit.
That's exactly what you said. I quit. So my question is now, how do we get you back on track? How do we get you back in the race? How do we get you back to the place where your faith can what's that thing they use, a defibrillator, where we can get you on the defibrillator and throw a charge into you if you'll rise up and begin to walk. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But just make up in your mind that I'm determined, I'm gonna make it. I mean, how do we get you back? Talk to me, somebody. Somebody out there trying to figure out, I walked away from God, and I don't know how to come back. I mean, I find myself in a position like the prodigal son. I'm out here with all this slop, and I'm eating pig slop. And my father has all the finest foods and the best-looking clothes and a jacuzzi in every bathroom. And here I am in the middle of a trench just trying to make a meal out of nasty, disgusting, stuff that was thrown out for, that's only good enough for pigs. I need to get back. How do I get back? Talk to me, somebody.
It begins with making up your mind.
All right.
That's what it begins. Let me tell you something. The prodigal son walked away from everything he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And when he hit rock bottom and he saw that his life was completely jacked up, he said, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not supposed to live like this. He said, my daddy got servants that live better than this, and I'm going to do this. He said, oh, no. He says, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home and tell my daddy, hey, I sinned against you and heaven, and I'm not even worthy to be called your son, but I'm sorry. Because here's the reality. Your place in God is still there.
That's right. God is
still there. The only one who's missing is you. And the same way you wandered away, could come on back. I see God with open arms saying, I'm waiting for you, my son. I've been looking for you, my daughter. Come on. I got something waiting for you, and it's not condemnation. I want to restore you. I want to give you what is rightfully yours. Just come on back to me. I can hear him. It wasn't Luther who sang that until you come back to me. No, the Lord was saying that years ago. Until you come back to me, don't know what I'm going to do. I'm sorry. That's Apostle Smith's fault. He got me with them old songs.
All right, now, I ain't mad at you. Aretha Franklin.
Are you trying to blame me for getting you saved?
That's terrible. All this time I thought he was saved. Yeah, but listen, we are out of time. And I do want to thank you guys for coming on. And I want to thank you, the listening audience, for participating. I want to thank Dr. Kimmy Robinson and Apostle Felicia Flight, as well as Apostle Smith and Apostle Whitlow. Thank you all for just being here, and because I'm going to be real with you. And y'all know, Bishop-elect, I'm being real. We almost didn't have a show tonight because I was just maybe caterpillar feet from canceling tonight. But God, and that's all I need to say. I had to stand on faith to believe that God was going to give me what to say, because I had no topic when I got on these airwaves, gentlemen. Not a topic anywhere.
But God, so, but God.
But God, you know, and I'm finding myself in that peculiar position, even when it's time to preach. It's like you look at stuff, that's not it. And you look at, that's not it. And you go through all this, and I've had situations where I've gotten to the pulpit, and that's when I got the word. And that just simply told me God wanted to talk at that time. So the best way for God to talk is for me not to have anything to offer. I said, God, how you going to send me in here and I ain't got nothing to say? God just says, go on now. That's how we talk from time to time. Go on now. Just go on.
You'll do it.
Yeah,
you'll do it.
I'm going in here, Lord. You're going to have to give me something. Okay? Go ahead on in. You'll be all right. As soon as I get to that pulpit. The blessing of the Lord. Ah, there it is. Boom. That's what I want you to preach, about the blessing of the Lord. Anyway, thank you, guys. We're going to, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please get the song ready. We're just going to end here tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, just understand that if you can acknowledge that you're a sinner, believe that God sent his son to die in your place, and then confess Jesus Christ as Lord with your lips, the Bible says you shall be saved. We want you to take a moment to go on our Facebook page, The Pastor's Corner. Leave us a message. Let us know that you've surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, or that God has shifted or changed something in your life for the better. And, you know, we're going to see you next Thursday at 10 p.m. We'll continue this discussion, the Lord willing, and we'll move from there. The Lord bless you and keep you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, go ahead. Drop that track.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pray to him. You gotta put in the work too.
That's right.
You just can't pray and he just give it to you.
No, he ain't gonna give it to you.
You gotta put in the work. He gonna put in the work. We gon' put in the work. And we put it together, and it's all some work. Now everybody knows that nothing comes easy when you gotta go live. You might have a chance, but you gotta have faith if you want the right thing in life.
If you want that,
everybody wants that easy road. Nobody wanna put in the work.
Put in the work.
Then you point your fingers at God, cause it didn't work. Now you got your feelings hurt. Why? Because you did not pray.
Why?
Because you didn't have faith.
Why?
Your heart was not in the right place.
Why?
Or maybe you was in a dark place.
Oh, yeah.
But this is not the time to be down. So you better
stand up.
You better turn that frown upside down. And you better
man up.
You gotta put in the work. He gonna put in the work. We gon' put in the work. And we put it together, and it's all teamwork. See, everyone in life has had to go and face their fears. And if there is a lack of prayer, then soon follow the tears. So never give up hope, because there is nothing to fear. Just put in the work and you will see it all so clear. Oh, so clear. Wait a minute. You got to focus on you.
Oh, so clear.
And when you plant that seed, that's when it'll come through.
Oh, so clear.
There is no I in you, so you better team up.
Oh, so clear.
I got the perfect partner for you. Just look up.
You gotta put in the work. He gonna put in the work. We gonna put in the work.
And we put it together, and it's all teamwork.
W
means you're willing to fight for it all.
O
means outlasting every downfall.
R
means resurrection, God all up in this place.
Okay.
Means you kick the devil right in his face, and I'm like,
work, pray, pray, work,
come on and
work, pray, pray, work,
come on and
work, pray, pray, work,
come on and
work, pray, pray, work, work, pray, pray, work,
you
gotta put in the work,
you gotta put in the work.